looking more into surveys that are trying to direct your opinion. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. And along with me today is my co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, fellow analyst, and very good friend, Chuck Michaels.
As always, it's great to be here.
Well, it's great to have you here today, Chuck. You know, we've been looking here this week at a survey, and I'm sure that our listeners are probably saying, okay, you've beaten this horse into the ground. Au contraire, the 2012 Congressional District Census, we're just getting to the good stuff. This is where we talk about domestic issues. Section 3 of this survey, now this was a survey that was put out by the Republican National Committee. It was sent to mailboxes around the state and around the country, because this is a fundraising letter is what this really gets down to. But it tells me a lot about how the party's already thinking. And we've talked about a little bit of that over the last couple of days. But we're really getting into what they call domestic issues, which is the bread and butter stuff, Chuck. That's the things that actually are the hot button issues that people have concerns about, whether it be hot button issues about the economy and spending, whether it be issues about the military, about health care, about taxes, about immigration issues, energy expansion, or social issues. It's all kind of encompassed in this particular question. Now, Chuck, I want to ask you a question. I'm going to survey you. How confident are you that America's economy will improve in the next 6 months? Are you strongly confident? Somewhat confident? Not too confident? Not confident at all? Or have really no opinion on the issue?
It's interesting the way that question's asked, but I don't have much confidence that we're going to see much improvement in the next 6 months.
Okay. So let me ask you then the question that should have been asked. Are you strongly confident that there will be a downturn? Are you somewhat confident or not too confident or not confident at all? See, because what they're trying to do is stay away from the idea, okay, well, I'm not confident that the economy will improve, but boy, the Republicans are going to come out there and tell you just exactly how wonderful and rosy things could be if you elect Republicans.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, you know, the Democrats will be doing the same thing as well and saying it's all the Republicans' fault, just like the Republicans turn around and say it's all the Democrats' fault. But what they're doing is they're limiting your choices to one category, one issue, and that's economy improving. Because that's really what this question's about. It's not so much about where you really stand. It's so that you link in your mind, and I'm not sure why you should, improving economy, Republicans. Improving economy, Republicans. You see, there's propaganda and marketing even in this survey.
Well, sure. And what else is new? Again, this is a loaded question. It's all about, will it improve? What does improvement mean?
Yeah, that's define improvement.
Well, generally speaking, I would find it a great improvement if I got a 10% raise this year.
Well,
and that's exactly, it's about the economy, stupid, as the famous Bill Clinton, ITES, it's about the economy, stupid. And in fact, the economy is the individual economy.
Yeah.
Now, of course, the individual economy is tied to the local economy, is tied to the county economy, is tied to the state economy, is tied to the federal economy. But the fact is, it all comes to whether or not the economy at home is better or worse.
That's right. Well, you know, I think it's interesting, and this is the section that's got the most number of questions, so we're not going to go through every one of them, ladies and gentlemen, but there are a couple things I wanted to highlight, because we touched on this, I believe, in yesterday's program, but we see it come up again here, Chuck, and the question, which is the single most important economic issue facing you and your family? And you can only check one of the boxes. Is it unemployment? Is it inflation, rising prices overall? Is it the loss of your retirement or investment values? Is it high taxes? Or is it this other checkbox, the cost of health care? Now, now, it's interesting because, yes, all of those are issues that people are talking about. We talk about people being able to find and keep jobs. We talk about the cost of living. We talk about our nest egg and whether or not you're going to be able to retire. Well, you know, honestly, biblically, none of us should be retiring. There is no provision for retirement in Scripture. So if you're a believer, you work until God calls you home. And depending on just how much ability he gives you is what you work at. So the whole idea of retirement is kind of a false concept, but we can get into that theological discussion for another day. But here it is, the cost of health care. And I say that because it leads down into a later question, and it's this. Do you support repealing Obamacare? Now, if they had just stopped right there, it would have been a great question. But they kept going, and they said, do you support repealing Obamacare and replacing it with something undefined that will address the high cost of health care while maintaining the quality of care?
And if anybody was listening yesterday, this is exactly what I was talking about with John Boehner's plan.
Exactly. And you notice that they don't want to commit themselves to anything, to any particular plan. So they give you something, and they give you a couple of general ideas. Address the high cost of healthcare. Well, I can address it by saying I think you need to go higher. That's not a solution. I can address it by saying the federal government comes in and dictates to the market what they're going to charge for services. Well, we already do that under Medicare and Medicaid. But the point is, none of it's constitutional. There is no constitutional warrant for the federal government to be dabbling in healthcare in any way, shape, or form.
And Barry, this is one of those things, the definition of insanity is doing the same things over and over again and expecting a different result. The price of healthcare has been spiraling, and healthcare has become disastrous since the 1960s when the federal government decided to stick its jib in to quote unquote control costs. Well, not only have costs gone completely out of control, they've risen out of control at a greater rate than inflation. And in fact, let me tell you something about a friend and I who go to the same doctor's office we're talking about today. And that is that we both started going to the same doctor's office about the same time, 15, 16 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is, we were talking about how much the practice has changed. And I pointed out to him that the reason the practice has changed, it's more or less a free to operate the way you will, more or less general practitioner office. They have three times the amount of administrative staff as they used to have, which has raised the cost of an office visit from about 1996 from about $38 to now I think it's $85 for an office call. Well, they have no choice because they have all this onerous record keeping and all this other administrative stuff that has to be done according to government regulation, and they have to keep these personnel. Now, are jobs created? Well, sort of. But what are people starting to do? They're starting to seek alternative forms of healthcare and to treat themselves. So what is happening is the quality of healthcare is actually dropping, even though the price is going up, because the government has gotten in and muxed up all this gobbledygook of regulatory activity that has driven the price through the ceiling. This is what you get when you, quote, repeal Obamacare and replace it with something that will address the high cost of healthcare while maintaining the quality.
Yes.
Guess what? Government regulation has done neither.
And will continue to do neither, regardless of which party is doing it. Well, that gets me back to the other couple of questions. So this is the laughable. It's question number four on your survey. So if you got your survey at home and you're following along, it's question number four in section three. And it says, do you think the first and most urgent priority of our government must be to create jobs, end economic uncertainty, and make America more competitive? Well, Chuck, the vast majority of people reading this question on the face was going to say yes, right? Let me ask that the follow-up question. How many jobs does government really create versus how many they prohibit from being created in the private sector by governmental regulation? Now, honestly, Charles, the last thing we need is more government jobs. I'm saying that the only way government can create a job is if they create a new agency and then fill it with bureaucrats who gets paid for by tax dollars. That's how government creates a job. They don't go out in the private sector and invest capital and take risks and, you know, build a better product and take it to market and then hire a workforce in order to produce it, to distribute it, to sell it, and to improve it through research and development. That's the private sector. See, if we think the first priority of government is to create jobs, we slept through Civic.
That's right.
We slept through Constitutional History 101 because the first and most important priority of government is what, Chuck?
It's basically of the federal government is to protect diplomacy, trade, and provide a national defense.
Yeah, well, that's true. And that's how it works out. But basically, what did our founders say? That government was instituted among men to secure our inalienable
our liberty.
Rights. That's right.
That's right.
Our life, our liberty, and our pursuit of happiness. Not to provide jobs, end economic uncertainty. And I want to know, how does government end economic uncertainty? Honestly, everything is uncertain. They're basically saying that they're going to ensure that everybody gets an equal share.
And Barry, that's the safety net, which is the problem that we already have. So we're going to continue to increase the quote unquote safety net that actually isn't a safety net at all. It's a block against liberty.
Well, and the
point against
is,
economic liberty.
Is ending economic uncertainty, does that mean stimulus packages, bailouts, preferential treatment for certain sectors of the economy like we've seen in the last couple of administrations, whether it be the green economy or whether it be Wall Street, whatever it might be, Is that how you end economic uncertainty, is by ensuring that things are too big to fail?
Well, let's call it what it is. It's corporate welfare.
It's corporate welfare, but it's spread out amongst the green corporations,
yes,
and the not-so-green corporations. And
right. It's owning the controlling interest in government, General Motors.
General Motors, that's right.
Which is really what fascism was all about. The fact is, the federal government has no business being in the car business. It had no business bailing out General Motors in return for a controlling interest in the stock, which they then turned over to labor unions, who have wasted the opportunity. The fact is that they tried to ram a car that nobody wanted down our throats, and that was the Chevy Volt. And I actually saw kind of a tongue-in-cheek comparison of the Chevy Volt with the old East German Trabant.
I haven't seen and that yet.
The conclusion was that the reason that more Trabants sold than Volts was because the Trabant was actually a better car.
That's right.
And if you've ever talked to anybody who has seen and heard a Trabant run, well, first of all, you'd be among the minority, because Trabants didn't very often run.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah, you're right. But that's when government gets involved in the private sector, what happens is you don't get more competitive nature. You get less competition, which means you get a worse product. So honestly, question number four, it's like, okay, I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. If you think that you got to create jobs and do all this stuff, you've decided that government gets to pick winners and losers. And that's not government's role. There are a number of other things in here that are blatantly unconstitutional that the Republican National Committee just wants you to be warm and fuzzy about while they do a better job of promoting an unconstitutional provision. Now,
yes,
there's one other thing that I want to point to in this particular section of the survey, because I know we're running out of time. It's the last question, cryptically question 13 in this portion of the survey. It says, do you believe the Republican Party should continue to embrace social issues? Now, Chuck, that question stopped me dead in my tracks, because you and I, and probably most of our listeners, might remember that we've been having a problem with Republicans in this state, from the state party chairman on down, having trouble with these, what they call divisive social issues. And they mean by that, by same-sex marriage and abortion fights and things of that nature. And the party's been trying to run away from social issues, well, probably a lot longer than that, but they're actively doing it, and vocally so, in the last 4 to 6 years. So this is a question I think that a lot of folks who would consider themselves to be conservative socially need to take a gut check when they're looking at which party that they're supporting. And no, we don't do it well. The Democrats are bad on all those issues, so the Republicans are our only option. That's not necessarily true. But the point is, they're out there actually surveying to find out if they can get a big enough font to say, oh, we need to abandon social issues.
Well, this is another one of those category error things.
Let
me go to the list. School prayer. Well, guess what? The whole problem there is that should have nothing to do with the federal government.
Absolutely.
That it should be up to the state and local. It actually should be up to the local school authorities about whether they pray in school or not. And the whole point is that that has been federalized, and now people supposedly on our side of the court want to keep the federalization but turn it over to basically force school prayer. And I'm like, well, I don't want it either way. I want true federalism, which is local control. Okay, ban the burning of the flag. Again, that's a state issue. Sorry, folks, that's a state issue. If the state wants to ban the burning of the United States flag, that is a state and local issue. Ban human cloning. That is a very interesting thing. It has to do with, this is a far more complex question, but the answer is, should it be banned? It depends on how you define cloning, because cloning has different biological definitions.
Yes, it does.
So this is, again, a loaded question. Faith-based initiatives. In other words, do we want the federal government to be handing out church welfare?
Well, Obviously the answer is no. What we want is for the federal and state governments to get out of the way of people of faith, so that they can minister to those in need with not just the material needs, but the spiritual needs of those people whom they are trying to minister to. But once government gets involved, the spiritual needs have to be left outside the door, because you can only minister to somebody's material needs with this. It's honestly, I work a lot around groups that work with this faith-based initiative issue, and I always struggle with it, because until you can figure out ways, most of them are what I call stealth evangelists.
Yeah.
They figure out ways of recasting the message so that they can still evangelize the people that they're serving, but just do so in a way that it doesn't raise the hackles of the federal and state overseers.
Yeah, and with that, we're out of time.
Well, one thing I want to bring up real quick before we leave. The question is a loaded one. Do you believe the party should continue to embrace social issues? Well, if what they're doing now is an embrace, look for the knife handle sticking out of your back. So
that's right. Well, join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.